So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto number 11, chapter 9, text number 29. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Lava Sudula Vamidam Bhavasam Bhavante.
Lava Sudula Vamidam Bhavasam Bhavante.
Manushyamartha dhamanityamapi hadira.
Manushyamartha dhamanityamapi hadira.
Turnangyate dhanapatenna mundisyuyavam.
Turnangyate dhanapatenna mundisyuyavam.
Nishreyasaya vishaya kalasarvatasya.
Nishreyasaya vishaya kalasarvatasya.
Lava, having attained, Sudurlabham, that which is very difficult to obtain,
Idam,
this,
Bahu,
many,
Sambhava,
birth,
Ante,
after,
Malushyam,
human form of life.
Artadam,
which of words great value.
Which are words of great value.
Anityam,
Anityam,
not eternal.
Not eternal.
Abhi,
Abhi,
although
Iha,
Iha, in this material world.
In this material world.
Hira,
Hira,
one who has sober intelligence.
One who has sober intelligence.
Turnam,
Turnam,
immediately.
Yateta. Yateta.
Should endeavor.
Should endeavor.
Na.
Na.
Not.
Not.
Satet.
Satet.
Has fallen.
Has fallen.
Anumrityu.
Anumrityu.
Always subject to death.
Always subject to death.
Yavat.
Yavat.
As long as.
As long as.
Nishreyasaya.
Nishreyasaya.
For ultimate liberation.
Vishaya, Vishaya,
sense gratification.
Sense gratification.
Kalu,
Kalu,
always,
always.
Sarvata,
Sarvata,
in all conditions.
In all conditions.
Siya,
Siya,
is possible.
Is possible.
Translation in first word by the followers of the divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. After many, many births and deaths, one achieves a rare human form of life, which, although temporary, affords one the opportunity to attain the highest perfection. Thus, a sober human being should quickly endeavor for the ultimate perfection of life, as long as his body, which is always subject to death, has not fallen down and died. After all, sense gratification is available even in the most abominable species of life, whereas Krishna consciousness is possible only for a human being. Purport. Material life essentially means repeated birth and death. Even the lowest forms of life, such as reptiles, insects, pigs, and dogs, have ample opportunity for sense gratification. Even ordinary houseflies have a very busy sex life and thus multiply rapidly. Human life, however, enables one to understand the absolute truth and is therefore full of grave responsibilities. Since the valuable human form of life is not eternal, we should do the needful to achieve the highest perfection, Krishna consciousness. Before death appears, we should seriously cultivate our real self-interest. One can experience Krishna consciousness in the association of devotees of the Lord. Without their association, one is in danger of being attracted to an impersonal conception of life, which causes one to fall away from devotional service to the Absolute Truth, or being discouraged by one's failure to understand the Absolute Truth, one may return to the false platform of sense gratification. In conclusion, human life is meant for cultivating Krishna consciousness under the guidance of the experienced, self-realized devotees of the Lord. Vande Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamala It is clearly stated in the Vishnu Purana. The ordeal we have gone through, the gift of this human form, incredible ordeal. These are all different types of prison cells in the prison of this material. Can you imagine? You had to go through one prison term after another one in different types of cells. And now you're in a special category. You're a prisoner that has the opportunity to get out of prison. This is a very special category that you're in. In the other categories, all you can do is advance within the prison to a different type of self. So you can't get out of prison. Of course, there are exceptions, but that's the exception. The rule is you cannot get out of the prison until you come to the human form. So, one comes to this human form, and instead of cultivating Krishna consciousness, If he follows the Pashu Marg, the pathway of animal life, it is the greatest tragedy. It is a horrible tragedy. Horrible tragedy. So that is the position of modern society. It is inconceivably horrible tragedy going on everywhere, all around us. It is nightmarish. They have come all this way, and now they are spoiling the whole thing, simply running after sense gratification. Like the dogs in the house. The Shabbatai warned his son, my dear boy, do not utilize this rare human life to imitate the ways of the dogs in the house. Whose business is stool eating. Rather, you must utilize this human life to realize God. Utilize this human form of life to realize the absolute truth, my dear boys. In this way, you can achieve that position. So unless we achieve that happiness which goes on increasing unlimitedly forever, we have wasted this human life. What good is some cheap temporary happiness to see when you're Toyota? What is the use of it? If you become a worm and stool in your next life, what is the use of it? It is maya sukaya, simply illusory happiness. So the intelligent person, he wonders, why do I exist? What is the purpose of my existence? He doesn't buy into the propaganda of the materialists. That your purpose in life is to work hard, make a lot of money, and enjoy your senses. He doesn't follow the Charvak Muni Marga. You know that Charvak Muni? He is the old-time atheist from India. He said the purpose of life is to enjoy your senses. Somehow or other, by any method, beg, borrow, or steal, you get as much ghee as possible and enjoy. Charvak Muni. So, the whole of the whole world, they become followers of Charvak Muni. But they've gone from ghee to flesh. He didn't even advocate eating meat. So even though he was atheist, in those days it was much more pious. He never said to eat meat, he said enjoy ghee. But now they become so gross, they want to eat blood and flesh. It's horrible things. Blood and flesh, can you imagine? Such gross, nasty things. Everywhere. Made worse by the Big Mac. It's gross. It's disgusting. If there's some dead animal on the highway hit by a car, will you immediately stop your car and drag the corpse into your car and go home and eat it? In China they will, of course. But, it's very gross, disgusting culture. They think it's enjoyment. They become so deluded by the material energy, they think that sense gratification gives happiness. How can you be happy by sense gratification? Is it possible? Only if you think of your body, then you can think you're enjoying by sense gratification. The one who has actually learned it, the one who actually knows what's going on, you see, there's no question of enjoying sense gratification. If there's Sunday tea, if you're very hungry, yeah, we put one mirror in front of you. And the server says, all right, now it's time for your prasadam. And we all give the prasadam to your reflection in the mirror. You can add it. We give it to the reflection. Okay. We even put the food up to the mirror where the mouth is and all these things. We feed the reflection. Will you be happy?
No.
You'll be angry. What are you doing? I want another feast. We're feeding you. What are you complaining about? That's my reflection. That's not me. So this body is like a reflection of the actual self. It's not the actual self. So what your sense gratification will do, it's not you. You say, or we'll dip your chowder in the sweetbread. Will that satisfy me? No, you give me the sweetbread. Don't give it to my chowder, give it to me. Is it? So the idea that sense gratification can satisfy the self is completely bogus. Absolutely. We cannot be happy by sense gratification. Even subtle sense gratification cannot satisfy us. Being adored, being glorified, you see, accumulating distinction, profit, adoration. So this false ego's satisfaction, that also is necessary. There's only one way we can be satisfied. That is, we have to please Krishna. If we please Krishna, then automatically we become satisfied. When you water the root of the tree, the whole tree becomes nourished. When you feed your belly, your whole body becomes nourished and satisfied. So we simply have to please Krishna. It's a simple thing. For these rascals, they want to deny, oh, Krishna is mythology. There is no Krishna. Even Gandhi, he said, you know that Gandhi said there is no person Krishna who ever existed. Gandhiji even took Krishna as a myth. No wonder India is so screwed up. They take even their greatest liberator, the British. Actually, Prabhupada said it was actually, that's Bose, huh? He was imagining an Indian national army getting ready to attack. He made a deal with Hitler, you know that? He traveled overland and went to Germany and he met with Hitler. And he made a deal with Hitler. And these Indian soldiers, they were the most powerful fighters you see in the British army. They were heavy duty, especially those Sikhs. So he made a deal with Hitler that any of the Indian soldiers who surrender, you'll send them to me with their weapons. So he was massing an army in this way, he made a deal with them. And Prabhupada explained that actually that was the real thing, the real reason the British gave up India. They knew what, they could see what was coming, they knew it was open. So, the point is, Krishna is not mythology. People want to know, what is your proof that God exists? Give us your proof. Actually, it's simple logic. Have you ever seen a machine that works without an operator? Has any of you ever experienced a machine or a gadget that operates without an operator? Can any of you give examples? It's like I have this watch, it's a self-winding watch. If I take off the watch long enough, it'll go dead. Depends on me moving my hand around and keep it wound up, you see. Or maybe you have a battery watch, you see. If you don't replace that battery, when it runs out, then it won't operate. It requires the battery or the motion, you see, or winding to keep it going. There's no watch that can run itself. It requires the help of an operator, that's a fact. So every machine requires an operator. This is scientific. Show me one machine that does not require an operator. Every single machine requires an operator. So is not the cosmic manifestation a gigantic machine? Does not it operate like a machine? The seasons are going on like a turning of a wheel, you see on the automobile. So it is a gigantic machine. Therefore we can understand if every machine has an operator, it is scientifically proven that every machine has an operator. We can, scientifically. Therefore, the big machine also has an operator, big operator. So what is the difficulty to understand God? They are stubborn, dogmatic people putting blind faith in their atheistic so-called charity. Blind faith. It is simply dogma. They are envious of God. It is not logical, it is not scientific, it is not philosophical. It is simply envy that they deny God's existence. Nothing else, simply envy. That I am the Supreme. There is no person greater than me. This is why Mayavadi philosophy attracts people, because you could deny God, or you could say, well, I am God, and I will believe in God. People who would be atheists, they can accept Mayavadi philosophy. That's why Shankaracharya, he was preaching to atheists. He got them to accept the idea of God because in his philosophy, I am God. That was accepted. Well, if I can be God, then I'll really believe in God. But that is another nonsense. Why do you have to realize it? What do you have? Why do you have to go through a process of purification? Tapasa, what is that? Arhunya kritschena parang padam padamjin padamjin patanjin 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 patanjin. Why do you have to do the kritschena? Why do you need kritscha, or austerity, to realize Brahma? If you're God, then how can ignorance block your consciousness? Why do you need to purify your consciousness through some method of jnana or yoga to realize you're God? Does that make sense? If you're the Supreme, then why do you have to meditate to realize you're God? That's another bogus nonsense. If I am God, then I'm always fully situated in my splendor as the Supreme Person. You see, nothing can interfere with my power, with my cognizance, everything will fully, always be fully manifested. So they say, I am God, but I just haven't fully realized it yet. Simply put it. God doesn't try to realize that he's God. I remember in the old days we were preaching in Florida, in the U.S. We went to one campus, we were doing a program there that evening in the Student Union Building. And we saw there was a poster all over the campus, one of these bogus gurus. It said, Krishna meditated and became God. Jesus meditated and became God. Buddha meditated and became God. And now you can meditate and become God. What nonsense. God doesn't have to meditate to become God. That's ridiculous. Did Krishna have to meditate? Where is this idea that Krishna meditated and became God? This complete bogus concoction. Nothing but a damn lie, you see. Krishna came out as God from the very beginning. By his mystic power, you see, all the prison guards fell asleep, the doors, the conscious prison house opened. The Jamuna made way, the Nanda Maharaj, Padmini and Advasadeva to carry him to the home of Nanda Maharaj, everything. God from the very beginning. To prove it, he revealed his forearm Vishnu form. I'm not just an ordinary baby, I'm the Supreme. So God doesn't have to. Krishna didn't have to work out at the gymnasium to lift Govardhan Hill. He just by his power immediately he can lift Govardhan Hill. He has unlimited shakti. So we have to understand what is God. They will not be misled by these cheaters and rascals. They're such devious snakes, actually. Recently, one of the readers of my e-course, she wrote me, well, I found another guru who is preaching self-realization like you are. And so I said, oh, I will give me the link for his website. Let's see.
Samasthi means, I am God. And Samasthi means, you are God. So he's trying to show, I'm the best of all the gurus because I don't say that I'm God. I say that you're God. And they think, oh, Swamiji, Guruji is so humble. He never says that he's God. He just says that we are God. Just see what a great guru he is. See, people are so cheated, so fooled. It's just a roundabout way of saying that I'm God, but I'm better than all the other so-called incarnations. I'm the real one because I say that you're God. I don't say that I'm God. What rascals. And these people have followers like anything. Just see how much the world is being cheated. People are being robbed of the human life by these rascals. What does Prabhupada say about these bogus gurus? He said they go to the darkest region of the universe. And where do their followers go? They go with them. You want to follow such a cheater? Guess where you're going to go? The same dark corner of the universe where he goes. Prabhupada didn't specify what that means. It doesn't sound very bright to me. The darkest corner of the universe. Maybe down in Pataloka somewhere, you know, a snake somewhere, and, you know, in a dark, hellish region. Or how about Krimi Bhojana? You all heard about Krimi Bhojana from the fifth canto? You know that Krimi Bhojana? Ooh, what a gross place. I'll tell you about it. Normally they don't talk about gross things in Bhagavatam, but it's Bhagavatam, so it's okay. And Krimi means worms in Sanskrit. And bhojana, it's the same thing in Hindi, isn't it? Oh, eating. Yes. Just like that restaurant in Vrindavan, they used to call it bhojana life, the guest house restaurant. Place of eating, bhojana. So, krimi bhojana. It means eating worms. The name of the planet is eating worms. So what is the pastime there? Eating worms. And who eats the worms? Worms. It's a cannibalistic. It's a huge leg of cannibalistic worms. They just eat each other. That's their pastime. Prabhupada explained that those people who eat food which has not been offered to Krishna, they go to Krimi Bhojana. Doesn't include vegetarian. So, don't think I'm very good. I never touch non-veg. I'm Pakayundu. Krimi Bhojana Dham. You have to offer the food to Krishna, otherwise you're eating pop. Yagya shishta shanashanto muchante tarvakil vishay mungate te vagam vapam yekushan sakmakarma. The devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food which has been offered first for sacrifice. Others who prepare food for personal sense enjoyment are eating nothing but lumps of pop. I said, okay, here's your prasada maru. It's a plate full of pop. Will you eat it? Would you like a plate full of pop? We'll give you a nice spoon. We'll even put it in a silver bowl. We'll give you a silver spoon. A big bowl full of pop. Here, enjoy. That's what they serve out in all these restaurants here, no? Come and get your bowl full of pop. So, this human life is not meant for foolishly serving these insatiable senses. What's the use of trying, you see? If something is insatiable, you see, why even bother? That's my point. If there is a master who is never satisfied and demands unlimited service, why even bother trying to serve that master? You see, he's never satisfied. No matter how much service you give him, that's the sense. These senses are very, very cruel masters. You see. So why are we such loyal servants of these senses? how deluded we are. I mean, how absolutely deluded we are to serve these senses. Dushparena nalena cha. They burn like fire and they're never satisfied. You can gratify them for the whole life and still they say, gratify me, gratify me. You know that story of Emperor Akbar and his Brahmin Pandit? The Brahmana said to Emperor Akbar, these senses are so strong that even in the moment of death, one will become, one will be lusty at death even. And everybody said, no, that's not possible. An old man, deathbed, feeling lusty to enjoy sex pleasure? No, it's not possible. So he said, well, you just wait. I will show you. So one day, there was an old man dying. So he said, Emperor, come with me, I'm going to show you something. And bring your young, beautiful daughter along with you. So they went to the room, there's the dying man. Here's the emperor, everyone always has all honor and respect for the emperor. So the emperor walks in, the beautiful daughter comes. The old man, he didn't even look at the emperor, he just looked at that beautiful young girl, you see. Oh, beautiful girl. So these senses, they never give up. They never give up. Insatiable desires, no matter how much you gratify, more and more and more and more. There's no way you can train the senses. You take only what is necessary to stay healthy, and the rest, and that's all you get. And you stop complaining about it, that's all you're going to get. And the rest of my energy now is for Krishna. Rishikesha, the master of the senses. He loves it. But not the Rishik, not the senses. Instead of serving my senses, now I will engage my senses in serving the master of the senses. You see. What is that person called? Goswami. One who is the master of the senses, Goswami. So, who in this kind is supposed to be a Goswami? Just the sannyasis, right? Huh? The sannyasis are ready to go, Swami? Nobody else, right? Of course not. We all must be Goswamis. Whether we are Brahmachari, Brahmacharini, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyasi, every position we may be in, we all must be Goswamis. By engaging these senses completely in the service of Krishna, Vatsa Vegam, Manasakrodha Vegam, Jivavegam udaropatta vegam mitam nimitam yogi shahita deva sravam abhimam tibim shishyat. Everyone in this ISKCON movement is meant to engage the mind, words, anger, tongue, belly and genitals exclusively, sense to sense, in the service of Rishikesha, the master of the senses. This is what it means to be Krishna conscious. If I'm not fully engaging my senses in the service of Krishna, am I really Krishna conscious? Not really. I'm trying to be Krishna conscious, maybe, but I'm not really Krishna conscious. Someone who is actually Krishna conscious, he has no desire to serve the senses. None. He just gives them whatever they need so they, the body will continue to be used nicely in Krishna's service, that's all. His only desire is to serve Krishna, nothing else. He doesn't want to mess around with Maya Devi anymore. She's cheated him for millions of lifetimes. He's tired of having a love affair, trying to have a love affair with Maya Devi. Not worth it. Only wants Krishna in Krishna's service. So in this way, we need desperately the association of Vaishnavas, you see. Because they reinforce us in this activity of giving up sense gratification and engaging everything in Krishna's service. We are social animals after all. We are affected by the consciousness of those with whom we associate. Therefore, we must associate with Vaishnavas. And we must give up or minimize our association with the non-devotee, that satsanga kyaam. We must minimize that non-devotee association, or give it up completely if possible. Of course, we are meant to preach, so it's not that we go hide somewhere in the mountains, no. We should become very strong in our Krishna consciousness, make our intimate association with devotees, and then preach to the people in general. Try to save them from their suffering condition. That is the duty of a Vaishnava. He must be a loving, kind-hearted person who tries to help everyone to get free of their suffering condition. Otherwise, if he's not in that mood, what is he called? Kanishta Adhikari. One who is not in that mood of blessing fallen souls of this planet of Krishna consciousness. He's called a materialistic devotee. If we want to come actually to the spiritual platform, we have to be in this mood of preaching Krishna consciousness, blessing the fallen souls of this planet with that seed of pure bhakti which will enable them to get out of karma chakra and regain their eternal position in the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His eternal abode. So, I can ask now if there's any questions. Yeah.
Self-control and the austerity is two different things. So why the so
what,
much
austerity and
self-control?
Self-control.
Yeah.
Two different things.
Yeah. I mean, basically, austerity. What I mean is that whenever there is a major event, we do the fasting or the things like that. But in the other religions, for example, in the Christianity or other religions, they don't emphasize so much on the austerity. So why, I mean, what is the background of the austerity?
The first thing is, there's religion is one. How we can say other religion? That's the first one. It's not that this is we have this religion here, there's other religions there. No. Religion, dharma hitakshat bhagavata nittam. There is one religion that is given by the Supreme Person, and that is to develop love for Him, unalloyed love for Him. Now that religion can be practiced anywhere. Here, the Christian church, a Muslim mosque, anywhere it can be practiced if one actually develops the qualities, the characteristics of being surrendered to that Supreme Person. The problem we have is, all of us have, whether I'm a Hindu, a Christian, a Hare Krishna, a Buddhist, a Jain, whatever I may be, the problem is we still think of the body. That's the problem. So the only way you can give up the false bodily conception is to give up sense gratification. Anybody who's not giving up sense gratification is not on the path of illusion. They're not. I don't care what they may advertise themselves. They're not on the path of belief. I'll give you an example. Theoretical. Just imagine there's a Christian family, you see. They're very dedicated. Every Sunday, they go to church. They get the kids up. They dress up the whole family. They go to church every Sunday because they know they'll go to heaven and they can live together in heaven. You know, they can have a suburban house in heaven or whatever. So the family dog will be there, you know, swimming pool, the whole nine yards. Okay, so they make sure to go to church every Sunday, and of course after church you have to have the Sunday dinner, so they make it easy on the wife. They go to McDonald's every Sunday so she can go to church, not to worry about cooking the Sunday dinner. They go to McDonald's after church every Sunday. Okay, so they go back. I've told this actually before here, I think. Somebody got really angry and the last time he started yelling. Is he here today?
No.
No, he's not. Okay, I'll go ahead and tell him. He really got angry. And he got angry and yelled like anything. I remember. It was heavy. Wow. Maybe he's going to get violent and attack. Yeah, he's not here today, so we'll just go ahead. So anyway, let's say they did end up going back to the spiritual world, you know, because they accepted Jesus. They get up there and they go, wow, this is great. God, we're so happy to be here with you. And oh, by the way, where's the McDonald's? Because that's what they're attached, they're addicted to that. They have to have their McDonald's hamburger. They worship, it goes along with their worship. So you worship God and you get your McDonald's hamburger. He says, I'm sorry, we only have Govinda's here. He says. They have to come down to Melbourne again. See, the point is, as long as you're attached to material sense gratification, you wouldn't be happy in the spiritual world. Even if somehow you got there, you wouldn't want to stay. You'd say, oh, this is like the Hare Krishna temple. I want out of here. I don't like the atmosphere here in the spiritual world. Everybody's chanting, dancing. Everyone's vegetarian, you know. It's like the Hare Krishna temple. Get me out of here. I don't like this atmosphere. What the Vaishnavacharyas have done in these temples, they've created an atmosphere which is the same exact atmosphere as Goloka Vrindavan. Is it? There are other churches, they don't do that. They have, you know, I grew up in a Christian church. We had our potluck, you know, pot karma dinner every Wednesday night, you know. And we all used meat dishes and, you know, all kinds of gross, nasty, disgusting things. Just sense gratification. So, you may say, well, you know, austerity, they're not thankful. Unless you can perform the austerity of giving up sense enjoyment, you would never be satisfied in the spiritual world. So, you know, what's the question of religion? Religion, meaning religion, is what qualifies you to re-enter the spiritual world. Without austerity, there is no religion. That's the point. Their religion is a false show of religion. We give them credit for the sentiment. We don't want to, at the same time, we give all respect to them for their sentiment. They invited me, actually, to the Christian church in Austin, Texas. I went over there to their Wednesday night study group. Because Jesus is a pure devotee, there's no doubt. So I just glorified Lord Jesus, and He's our Savior, He's the Son of God, and on, I'll tell you, they were all smiling. And then I said, but with you all, we have one beef. You know, beef also means argument. I said, but with you all, we have one beef, and that is the beef. Because I said it poetically, just like you all laughed, they also had a big laugh because of the poetry of it. You know, I poetically told them that you all are rascals, and they loved it. They thought it was a great song. Even though I told them, you know, this is really wrong what you're doing. You know, this is against the Bible. Really. And I told them all these things, but I glorified Jesus so much, I completely softened them up. They could hear anything. I completely mellowed them out. You know, massaging them, and giving them different words, glorifying Jesus, and then I gave them the medicine. You know, so this is wrong. But they really appreciated. They really appreciated my presentation. So we really have to, you know, it's not a home run. Pure bhakti can be anywhere. A Christian can practice pure bhakti. A Muslim, anyone can practice pure bhakti. It's not the exclusive domain of the Hare Krishna people. Anyone can practice pure bhakti. But that doesn't mean to say that impure bhakti, bhakti mixed with sense gratification, is the same as pure bhakti. That distinction. We don't say that bhakti can only exist in chanting Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya said, Nanam Makari Bahudalami Sarva Shaktis. He said, you can chant any one of the millions of different names of God. Any name of God. And our acharyas have accepted Allah also, the one of thy name for the Supreme. Even though it's not in our Vedic scriptures, it's accepted by our acharyas. So, we don't say that they can bow down to Allah, but they have to give up sense gratification. They have to give up sense gratification. As long as one is addicted to sense gratification, can't get free from the bodily concept. As long as you're not free from the bodily concept, you're not qualified to get a spiritual body. So does that answer your question? Okay, very good. Any other questions? Everyone's now totally satisfied, ready to make the world Krishna conscious. That's our duty. Yes?
How will you define Krishna consciousness?
How do you remember this?
How do you
define
Krishna consciousness?
Revive?
Define.
Yes. Well, it's very simple. You have to be conscious of Krishna. It means to be conscious of Krishna 24 hours a day. In all times, all places, and all circumstances. If you're actually Krishna conscious, that Krishna consciousness will manifest in every thought which goes through your brain. It will manifest in every word that comes out of your mouth. And it will manifest in everything you do with your body also, in all times, places, and circumstances. That is Krishna consciousness. It's not theoretical. Of course, it has a theoretical aspect, but Krishna consciousness is practical. It means acting for the pleasure of Krishna constantly, in all ways, always acting for Krishna's pleasure and satisfaction. That is Krishna consciousness. As Lord Jesus, he was the perfect example of Krishna consciousness. He said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. That is Krishna consciousness, he said. Give up doing what you want and just do what Krishna wants. Completely give up idea of, I have to enjoy it. No. Kick out, I want to enjoy it. What will give satisfaction to Krishna? Even if I have to suffer, even if I have to burn in hell for eternity, that will please Krishna and I will accept it. That is Krishna consciousness. Everything for the pleasure of Krishna, even if it's miserable for me, I will take it. Even if I don't like living in the Hare Krishna temple, even if it feels like hell for me, I will stay here because it's for Krishna's pleasure.
That is Krishna consciousness. Devotional service is synonymous with Krishna consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Is it synonymous, devotional service?
What are you saying, David?
Can you do devotional service simultaneously? Is that correct, no?
Synonymous
with?
Devotional service.
Krishna consciousness means devotional service. Devotional service means Krishna consciousness. Yes. Devotional service. You see, that's very important. If I serve in a non-devotional mood, that's like somebody goes to a job and I'll do the service, but it's not devotional service. It's service for material gain. Our service has to be free of any, has to be devotional, which means free of any material motive. Ahaitakiya pratiyata. Ahaitaki means without any material motive. So devotional means no material motive. That's devotion. I simply want to give. I have no idea, no desire to take. I simply want to give. That is devotion. Anything else? Yes.
Krishna also wants us to receive as well as to give.
Yes. Krishna wants to give to you everything. Actually, Mataji, Krishna wants to give you himself. He wants to give you himself. But you have to be in the right state of consciousness. You have to fully give yourself to Krishna. He's waiting. He's been waiting for millions of lifetimes and then you will fully give yourself to Him. Fully. And when that moment, Krishna is just, He's just eagerly, with great anticipation, when she will fully give herself to me so that I can fully give myself to her. He wants to fully reciprocate with your love. You see. So He's made all these arrangements now that you can make perfect, you can give perfect love to Him so that He can fully give Himself to you. He wants that. That's why you exist. He's emanating you with His eternal energy, particle, jiva, so that He can fully give Himself to you. That's what He wants. And He wants nothing more than that. But you have to be in the right state where you can fully appreciate Krishna. Mm-hmm. Therefore, this process of sadhana bhakti is there. And you can learn how to fully give yourself to Krishna. Ye yatamam sapadyam te tamastataya vajamam. Inasmuch as they surrender to me, to that much, I surrender them, I reciprocate them. Actually, Krishna must have surrendered to you, like he surrendered to Mother Yashoda. But you have to be worthy of that. So yes, Krishna, he wants to give everything to you. You just have to be ready to handle it properly. Yeah.
Isn't that we are taking so much from Krishna, we are receiving so much from Krishna, to compare to that, we are not giving him even a little.
That's our problem. Actually, Krishna is already giving us everything. And we take it for granted. Krishna. I think I'll sleep if they don't mind my words.
We are not seeing and we are not observing how much Krishna is giving us.
Yeah, we're so dull, you know. I mean, why don't we take the advice of the Kapha Upanishad? I mean, when are we going to get out of this stupor, you know? Thinking that, you know, by working this job, I'm being maintained. Ekobahunam yodadati, yodadati kaman. That one Supreme Conscious Eternal, he's providing all maintenance for all the living entities, you see. He's maintaining. He's giving everything. Right now we're breathing air, right? What happens if you were, if someone denied you of air right now? You'd be in a panic. And if somebody gave you air, you'd feel so grateful. You saved my life. Well, Krishna is saving your life at every minute. He's giving you air to breathe. What if you were starving to death and someone finally brought you food? How grateful you would be. Krishna is feeding us. Well, everything, he's giving us everything. What about a right proper temperature? If it's too hot, you'll die. If it's too cold, you'll die. Krishna is giving us everything. The right temperature, the food, the water, everything he's providing. And we just take it for granted. Oh, who is this Krishna? You know Prabhupada told us in Los Angeles? He said, Krishna lives in Govardhan Hill. And you were thinking, maybe. He's initiated disciples. He was telling them, you're actually still skeptical about Krishna. He could see our hearts. If you're a devotee, he could look right in our hearts. He can see with them. He could see we were still skeptical. So that skepticism is still there. We're not fully appreciating Krishna. What he's giving us, that's the thing. I don't want to go too long. I know in one temple, the temple president got on my case and went overtime. I don't want to get jasted. It's getting a little late. All right, this is the last question.
Srila Prabhupada said, you go one step toward Guru Krishna, he comes 10 steps to you. You go towards Krishna one step, and Krishna comes 10 steps to you.
He's saying, you take one step towards Krishna, and Krishna gives you 10 steps forward.
Yes. That's about it. But if we don't take that one step, we're nowhere. We're sometimes we're hesitant to even take that one step. I remember one Brahmachari, he didn't want to get up from Mangal Arati. He said, we have devotees home. The temple president went up there to his room. And he said, bring Mangal Arati to me. He didn't last long, but he was long gone. This is not the mood. We don't even need him to take one step to Krishna. Well, Krishna, I'm just going to lay here in bed and let Krishna come to me. That doesn't work. We have to do that austerity. Rising, you know, we're at home, we should rise early in Tengar Vasa compared. Everyone should have a little Mangal Arati at home or here at the temple. Everyone. The Prabhupada said everyone must do a Mangal Arati. So, this way, we become very... You know why, actually, Prabhupada had his sing Gravastakam like this in the morning? You know why? You ever read the ninth prayer of the Gravastakam? The ninth prayer is stated by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that anyone who chants these eight prayers, you see, in the early morning, Brahma Muhurta, they are guaranteed to have the direct service of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan at the time of death. If you would like to leave your body and wake up in the direct association of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan, the immediately if I'm leaving your body, then come to Mangalarti every day. Have it come here or have your little Mangalarti at home every day. This is a ticket, a blessing from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He's giving out free tickets for Goloka Vrindavan. Immediately upon leaving your body, you wake up, wow, I'm in Goloka Vrindavan. There's the gopis, there's Radharani, there's Nanda Maharaj, there's the Yashoda, there's the Jamuna. Finally, a river is not polluted. Finally, you can see a river that's not polluted. A clean river. Wow, this is great. So anyway, we'll stop here. Gantarashima Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada.